This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, June 1, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Grand Rapids' first office to residential housing is welcoming tenants this week. WGVU's David Limbaugh takes us inside the residences at 111. City officials say it's the beginning of a trend for addressing downtown housing.
Our vision is really to take what we have the most of and convert it to what is most in demand.
Sam Cummings is managing partner with CWD Real Estate. It's spearheading the downtown Grand Rapids office space conversion inside 111 Lyon Street Northwest, also known as the Fifth Third Bank building, into 140 residential apartments.
Everybody knows that we have a housing and affordable housing shortage, and that people's work habits have changed and cities have changed over the past 5 or 6 years. So how do we kind of combine all those factors and take what we have the most of and convert it to what's most in demand, which actually helps everything?
The redevelopment includes 105 one-bedroom units and 35 two-bedroom units, with 28 units designated as income qualified. Mayor David LeGrand says this is just the beginning of a much-needed downtown Grand Rapids housing boom.
I think we're going to see the housing market in Grand Rapids in terms of how many units are available. It's sort of a snowball rolling down a hill, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. So lots on the horizon.
The building's lower-level sports and recreation amenities have been named the University Club. It's a nod to the century-old social club that occupied the top floor before closing in 2023. I'm David Limbaugh.
A new wave of first responders is ready to hit the West Michigan Lakeshore as Life EMS Ambulance graduates its first EMT class in Ottawa County. WGVU's Dee Morrison tells us it follows a statewide shift in how emergency medical personnel are recruited and trained.
Life EMS is expanding its 911 paramedic services along the lakeshore, including Grand Haven, Spring Lake, and Crockery Townships.
The growth and the need is here along the lakeshore in Ottawa County.
In partnership with the Grand Haven Fire Department, Life EMS launched a 14-week emergency medical technician pilot program. Director of Education Tim Newton says 9 students completed the program.
We started small, but that explosion kind of happened overnight. We published the next class without any media behind it, and it filled up by word of mouth.
Newton says the September EMT class is already full, and an additional winter class is now planned.
I've seen a big dynamic in either career changes or those just getting into a workforce. They're looking for something that is more meaningful than what they're doing.
Industry experts say interest is soaring due to an earn while you learn model in Michigan, offering recruits tuition and an hourly wage while training. Newton says graduates have no problem finding jobs statewide.
We have 10 other communities that we serve, or they're going to those other departments. The employment opportunities are readily available right now.
I'm Dee Morrison.
A developer says his plan for the vacant Steele Middle School will make Muskegon the West Michigan sports capital. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the Q9 group is planning a subdivision of single-family homes and an indoor sports complex on the property.
We wanted to make sure that this was beneficial to the entire community.
Q9 Development Group Chairman Richard Thrower says he's planning over 33 new homes on the football field outside the vacant Steele Middle School, and an indoor sports complex inside.
That's going to be the crown jewel. A full basketball court, a few different tracks, some media broadcasting, pickleball court, a couple golf bays as well. We are literally going to make Muskegon the West Michigan sports capital.
The project saves the building from demolition and instead provides something Commissioner Jay Kilgo says the community needs.
We don't have anything like this in Muskegon.
Muskegon Big Red public school teams will have access to the sports complex for practice.
Your facility can train our next state champions.
And Thrower says Amateur Athletic Union and other tournaments will bring competitors, their families, and fans to the city.
Cash cow that's going to come from that. The hotels, the people that's going to be frequenting all of our restaurants as they travel in from all of these different locations.
Muskegon Mayor Ken Johnson and all city commissioners voted to approve the development.
It's going to be a wonderful asset to have for this community.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The city of Grand Rapids is teaming up with residents to initiate projects that bring neighbors together. It's the Neighborhood Match Fund Project. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The city of Grand Rapids is again teaming up with residents to spark projects that bring neighbors together, inspire learning, and celebrate what makes each community unique. Residents can submit Neighborhood Match Fund proposals now through June 30th for projects scheduled from September through February. The program awards $500 to $5,000 to help resident-led ideas take shape in neighborhoods across the city. A news release says projects should be community-focused, inclusive, and designed to promote a deeper sense of belonging among neighbors while enhancing the overall quality of life in neighborhoods. New this year is an additional project category in support of Welcoming Week, which takes place September 10th through the 19th in Grand Rapids and across the country. It celebrates the richness of diversity in community and through community events. Since its launch in 2017, the Neighborhood Match Fund has awarded more than $1.2 million to support more than 300 community-led projects throughout Grand Rapids. Community members or organizations can find more information at grandrapidsmi.gov/NMF. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A $650 million expansion at Coopersville's Fairlife is adding more than 100 new jobs and increasing milk demand from local dairy farmers. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Fairlife LLC, a subsidiary of the Coca-Cola Company, produces dairy-based products including ultra-filtered milk and nutrition plan protein shakes. The company is investing $650 million expanding its Coopersville facility. That's where it's adding two new high-speed production lines and expanding the plant by 245,000 square feet. The company will also add 150 new jobs. The Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development is supporting the project with a $275,000 Food and Agriculture Investment Program grant. Fairlife sources over 6 million pounds of raw milk per day from more than 30 Michigan dairy farms. The expansion will increase milk intake by 4 million pounds per day, a 60% increase, meeting an increased consumer demand. Chicago-based Fairlife employs more than 1,000 workers across the country, including over 400 in Michigan. I'm David Limbaugh.
Patients in the Holland area now have access to new next-generation robotic surgery technology. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, Holland hospital leaders say it means much faster recovery from procedures.
These are the latest and greatest technology offered in the robotics platform.
Director of Surgical Services Krista Garcia says Holland Hospital installed two intuitive Da Vinci 5 robots. The surgeon remains in control of the robotic instruments, but the new system offers upgrades such as higher resolution 3D HD images and force feedback technology.
These instruments allow the surgeons to feel tension on surrounding tissues to limit the trauma that's enforced on these tissues, so less post-op pain, less downtime with healing.
The robotic systems provide minimally invasive care across four primary specialties.
With urology, we can remove prostates with the robot. With gynecology, women can have hysterectomies. With general surgery, we can take out ruptured appendix, gallbladders. We can do colon surgeries. And then also with bariatrics, they can use that for the weight loss surgery.
Garcia says the biggest benefit of the new technology is that it allows local patients to receive top-tier surgical care without traveling outside their community. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin previews Jazz in the Park, but first, news from around the state. The governor recently created a new council to help Michigan's kids read better. Colin Jackson has more.
The Every Child Reads Champions Council will include people with backgrounds in education, philanthropy, and business. The goal is coming up with input on how to improve Michigan's literacy efforts. Matt Gillard is president of the group Michigan's Children. He hasn't decided whether he'll apply to join the task force, but he says its success will depend on how much policymakers listen to those recommendations. He says parents need to stay on top of their lawmakers.
Ask them the questions on what they're going to do to prioritize these issues, and are they going to make this a priority moving forward if they are elected?
Michigan's reading scores have struggled in recent years, leading many policymakers across the political spectrum to say the state needs to focus on literacy. I'm Colin Jackson.
Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says she would create a new Department of Arts, Culture, Tourism, and Sports if she is elected governor this year. Benson is seeking the Democratic nomination. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Benson says an arts, culture, tourism, and sports department would help make the state more inviting to filmmakers, musicians, and other creators, and help lure big athletic events. She says that could be used to leverage economic benefits and help grow Michigan's population. She says this is also part of her education plan.
We have not fully invested in arts and sports opportunities for our schools. The data shows when we do that, we create leaders. We create creative thinkers. We create problem solvers.
Governors have wide latitude to organize the executive branch and can create, abolish, or combine departments without legislative approval. but department director appointments must be okayed by the state senate. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Jazz in the Park opens tonight. WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks to Shannon Dennison about this 26th annual West Michigan Jazz Society's lineup. Each Monday night, the community will come together for incredible live jazz, connection, and summer fun.
It's time for Jazz in the Park, back for a 26th season. You have an evening of, well, wonderful weather, if you like, 70s, 80s, and more. The sun will start to set, the jazz will play, and you, Shannon Dennison, will talk about it now and more. Good morning to you, Shannon.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
All right. You have many hats on with your financial business. You an author. We'll get you back for that. But now Jazz in the Park is back. How exciting is this?
This is so exciting. We are in our 26th year of providing free concerts all summer long. And this year, we kick it off tonight with Jazz in the Park. We always feature a high school jazz band. Tonight, we start out with East Kentwood High School Jazz Band. And we have the MSBOA District All-Star Jazz Band.
Right.
So we're starting it off with youth, and we're excited to see everybody out there.
Not to put you on the spot, MSBOA?
Michigan State Band of
Something.
America.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. All right, but youth?
Yes.
Why do you start it off with youth?
Well, that's part of our mission. Our mission is to advance, uphold, and sustain live jazz through promotion, performance, and education. And education is a key component of what we strive to do with the Jazz Society. And tonight we're actually going to be announcing two of our scholarship winners. We're presenting $2,000, so $1,000 each for a couple of very lucky scholarship recipients.
Do they know?
I believe they do. We talked about it over the weekend. I believe they do.
Yeah, you want them to be there and at least know about it. Well, big picture, each Monday night, and we know our community comes together for this incredible live jazz connection, summer fun. I mean, you've had up to 1,200 guests weekly. Where exactly are we going?
So we're going to Millennium Park. It's at the Meadows, Sekia Meadows, and we are on the hill there. And everybody is welcome to bring their chairs or blankets. You can bring food. You can bring drinks. We do have a couple food vendors there, Cool Breeze and the Coney Girl. And we're definitely opening up for a few more food vendors as well.
So what times are we thinking?
We start 6:30 to 8:30. And if there is ever an event where it might not happen because of the weather, we will be announcing that by 3:30. And you can find that information on our Facebook site and on our website as well.
Good. I know you have some rain dates in August, but that's not until August, not to rush as well. And there's a pass the hat opportunity.
Definitely. These concerts certainly cost money. And I think our budget for the summer series, it's about $30,000 to put the whole thing on. So, yeah, 10 concerts. We'll pass the hat around. We welcome cash. We will have a Venmo and PayPal QR codes if that's easier for people. But definitely need and welcome not only community support, but sponsors as well. Open for business sponsorships in corporate. We certainly have room for that.
Yes. Again, those dollars do help with paying it forward to your musicians and more. All right, let's do some lineup discussion. Again, tonight you can't beat the kids, but every Monday night you offer an opportunity to see the best.
Yeah, and jazz really, really encompasses a huge variety of different kinds of music. So there's lots of different genres when you talk about jazz. So starting it out with the East Kentwood High School and MSBOA All-Stars. Next week, June 8th, it's the Jeff Shoup Quartet. Mm-hmm. Followed by a great all-star June 15th Jordan Van Hemmert band. And this is one of our very own board members. And he's got some incredible musicians with him. Terrell Stafford, Lewis Nash, Jocelyn Gould, Mickey Yamanaka, and possibly Rodney Whitaker. Very stellar performers, a lot from the MSU education line there. Then June 22nd, we've got some Brazilian influences, Group IA. Then we have a big band, June 29th, Big Band Nouveau. A great new group to add Tom Allport Band. That's July 6th. We're not taking any time off like we typically do, because July 4th is a full 2 days before July 6th on a Monday. So we're going to keep continuing on with the Tom Allport Band. July 13th, we have Eddie Curtis, and he's doing a tribute to Chet Baker with his group. Moving on to July 20th, Third Coast Swing, and that's some Django Reinhardt influence. You got some of that going on. Sonny Wilkinson Quartet on July 27th, and then we close it out August 3rd with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra, with two rain dates after that, just in case we need them.
All right, Shannon Dennison, will CDs and other swag be available from time to time?
Yeah, definitely. Each band has their own CDs. And then for swag, we have this opportunity for also nonprofits, local nonprofits, for free to give them some leverage. And a lot of times they'll bring their own swag. So we have different themes, and that's also open for future concert events. We encourage nonprofits to go look to see what theme they might fit under, whether it's youth advocacy or family champions, those kind of things. And they will be welcome to have a free table and just to talk, engage the community with what their missions are.
Yeah, that's the nonprofit groups moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Yep, and contact you for that, because there's no charge to them?
There's no charge to them for that. So yes, just there's information on the website, and contact us.
And it's a win-win to obviously hear a free performance after you've put a dollar in the hat, and then certainly get your word out. Again, this all part of a super committee. Tell me more about the West Michigan Jazz Society. Yes, summertime is wonderful, but lots happens throughout the year.
That's true. We just announced our Musician of the Year, Sherry Lynn Hagen, and we'll be honoring her with a special celebration probably in late September. And then we also do different community collaborations. Upcoming on Juneteenth, we're collaborating with Camp Blodgett. We're going to have a concert out there, and we have a special access for discount to that show for our members. So and that's going to be a GRJO septet. So some special members from that group will be coming out to perform our Juneteenth collaboration event with Camp Blodgett. And then we offer several concerts throughout the year. We just wrapped up a series at Fountain Street Church. And this was our Tuesday night at the Fountain, which was really kind of a coming home event, actually, because it's been 40 years since Betty Forrest founded the West Michigan Jazz Society, and that happened as a result of a concert. It was a Stan Getz concert at Fountain Street Church, which was very poorly attended. And she, being the wife of Jimmy Forrest, a very famous jazz musician, said, "This is not acceptable," and said, "We need to start a West Michigan Jazz Society." And that's what we did. So it's really a full circle moment. We expect to continue doing those concerts in the fall at Fountain Street. They are a wonderful community partner for us and many other nonprofits.
Yes. And Shannon, why your personal interest, you and your families?
Oh, we've loved jazz for a long, long time. And when jazz was at the zoo and our family was young, it was a great place to bring the kids and bring some snacks and play and expose them to good music. And I certainly know really well now that jazz isn't only something enjoyable to listen to, but it's good for your health. You know, it helps you relax, it gets that blood pressure down, and it's just a way to connect with people and to really connect to the history of this great American music that jazz is.
Yes. And is the West Michigan Jazz Society, are you membership driven?
We are membership driven. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without our members. So we have a very, very reasonable membership fees. It's $35 for a single, $50 for a couple. And we certainly take donations. And we have special memberships for jazz musicians as well, because again, we want to promote jazz on all levels. So we appreciate our members, and we appreciate everybody that wants to support us financially.
Wonderful. All right, details then for tonight, where you kick off. Yay.
Details for tonight. Come to Millennium Park at Zeccia Meadows, and come a little early so you can get yourself set up in a nice place to park, and you can bring your chairs, you can bring snacks, your coolers, and well-behaved dogs on leashes. Yes, you can bring them too. And we will be kicking off at 6:30, and it goes from 6:30 to 8:30. Bring a few dollars or your phone so you can make a donation. We really appreciate that, too.
Wonderful. All the lineup and more found where, please?
At wmishjazz.org.
All right. Going up a jazz orchestra going out with their timely work when it comes to their work on August 3rd. But until then, we've got June 1st. Shannon Dennison, thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, June 1, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.